So,
hello.
They apparently didn't have enough Southern speakers.
Uh-huh.
And I said, oh, sure.
Okay. Well, but I'm not exactly a Southern speaker.
Well, neither am I, but...
Close enough?
You've been in the South for...
A very long time.
Yeah. Anyhow, I'm sorry I couldn't talk last night,
mm-hmm.
but I appreciated getting the call.
Well, we were concerned when we heard that you had almost 2 feet of snow there.
30 some inches.
Jeepers.
That would be more than 2 feet.
Gosh, yes, that is tremendous.
It is. It has really been incredible.
Well, we didn't have that much. The last that we heard yesterday was 1. We would have had 1 foot if it hadn't sleeted.
Hmm.
We had 4 inches of snow and then a lot of sleet. So and then a powdering of snow. But I went up with Laura today, and we got Premi from Linda's barn.
Mm-hmm.
And it has packed with the thawing of yesterday into probably 4 inches of ice.
Yeah.
Where I tried to pull the hot wire up and put Premi back, I couldn't even pull a thin wire out of the snow.
Oh, my gosh.
I had to go get hot water and...
melt it out?
Yeah, just to get him safely in... you know, his pasture.
Well, I think the landlord paid for someone to shovel out our building.
Mm-hmm.
So our sidewalk got shoveled out. And then 48th is a major route. It's a bus route. So 48th Street got plowed.
Uh-huh.
Cedar is amazing. It's, you know... You can go out and walk in it. There's a track where someone walked down,
mm-hmm.
and you can walk there, but if you miss and step on either side, you're sort of up to your knee in snow.
Mm-hmm. Is it hard or soft?
It was a really soft snow because it was around 10 when it snowed, so I guess it was more like 13.
Mm-hmm.
But it came down in such frigid air that it was the sparkliest,
mm-hmm.
Fluffiest snow. It's not good for snowballs or anything like that.
Well, here, if you step off the track, it's like walking on boulders. It's just ice, you know, ice form.
Yeah, that's what I remember from down there.
But remember the snowstorm in Apex that year before we left in, like, 88? That was the last time that they had this much snow.
Oh, wow.
So that was the last year.
I remember a March snowstorm that was near spring break, that it was more like inches and inches of sleet,
mm-hmm.
and it was real, it was like tons of tiny ball bearings.
Yeah, that's what this was.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
Mm-hmm. But it's their last big one, and we were there. We vacated to Florida in between and then got in on the next good snow.
Well, this was the biggest one ever here.
Gosh.
So.
Well, I was glad you had all your warmies.
Oh, yeah. Christopher's been, you know that gray pullover you got him?
Yeah.
That's what he's been wearing underneath his coat to work.
Oh, good.
He's been all layered, and he's, because we're close, he's been working extra long shifts.
Mm-hmm. You're not going in, are you, to work?
No. I had planned to try to get some work done this weekend. Didn't get any work done on the weekend. And then yesterday, the snow was just so distracting. I didn't
mm-hmm.
do anything. Today, I don't have an excuse, but I'm still not getting anything.
Just that much snow. Surely they must say, stay home if you can.
Oh, yeah. Well, you couldn't. They weren't allowing you to be on the roads yesterday.
That's good.
You would get fined if you were driving out in the stuff.
Yeah, I heard that they had emergency vehicles that were stuck in off streets and whatever.
And then they'd send another emergency vehicle to pull it out, and it would get stuck. And then they'd end up sending a backhoe to pull them out. It really is amazing.
Mm.
And we're expecting snow for this evening. Of course, what's an inch on top of what we've got,
mm-hmm.
and then they think the storm this weekend has the potential to dump some, but, you know, they have no idea.
Yeah, we heard that too, but then they backed off and they said rain for us. Right now it looked like snow clouds going over when we walked down,
mm-hmm.
but Laura had so much fun. Now she's sick in bed,
oh.
but she was really kind of sick over Christmas,
mm-hmm.
and then when the snow came, instead of staying in, she got out. First of all, she played sledding and whatever with Megan. Mm-hmm. Then when she walked Primmy down to Linda's barn, Linda called her to go riding. So she's had two long rides now with Linda. And I think Linda wanted her to go out and play today, too, but I told her that...
Linda?
Well, she's married. She's got two kids.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah. So, but she and Laura are just great friends.
Oh, well, that's good.
So,
you know, I know most of my women friends are over 30.
Uh-huh.
I guess at my age, that's not a big deal. But,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of them are, I have a lot of friends who are around 50.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you just raised really mature daughters, Mom.
I guess so. I'm sorry to say mine are about the same relationship. Age relationship, too.
Yeah.
We'll just have to
see
if we can find
you.
Some intelligent kids for ourselves.
Well, it's really neat. I fed the birds, you know, my garden area.
Mm-hmm.
Snow is drifted up higher than the window on it.
Wow.
And the wind has blown and sort of sculpted out. So the window, there's not snow against the window, but you look out and you see this drift.
Mm-hmm.
So I threw out the last of my bird seed there. And it was the one window that didn't get really iced over.
Mm-hmm.
And so I opened up the inside window and cleaned the storm window, so it was really clear.
Mm-hmm.
And the cat and I sat there. I with my camera, and the cat just with his tail.
Uh-huh.
Watched the birds, and I saw a downy woodpecker yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Two cardinals. I think I got a good picture of the lady cardinal.
Mm-hmm.
Juncos and sparrows.
We had a pair of towhees. And
I ever see here are sparrows and pigeons, so I'm excited. But.
This brought out ones that we have rarely seen. We had a blue jay and a mockingbird that have been well hidden for a long time.
Yeah.
And the towhees, yeah, and we saw, Laura saw a woodpecker. I didn't see what kind it was. A couple of squirrels and trying to think, some others.
And a parakeet.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's a cockatiel.
Uh-huh. Hear him and he knows.
Oh, yes.
And I don't know. It's been a lot of fun. I wish you were here to have the peaches.
Peaches?
You know, Aunt Elsa. Oh, yeah, pears. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Aunt Elsa apparently sent you a package. It was Tanya who bought it, and it has caused great disorder in the family because of sending this gift. But apparently she had volunteered to help Elsa with Christmas and
right.
thought this would be a good thing to do, and they're all up in arms about it. But what we got was a box of pears.
Mm-hmm.
And Laura said you got a whole stack of things.
Right, we got two pears.
And then
a little cheese and some chocolate.
Granddad got a box that had a couple of apples, a couple of pears, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like everybody got something different, too. I don't know what kind of order it
right.
was. But we have a something called Riviera pears that are very fragrant. And I guess I just opened the box the other day thinking I'm going to find a couple of oranges and apples and whatever, and was really surprised to see all pears. But they were real good in a fruit salad.
Uh-huh.
So I'm poaching some now in white wine with cinnamon sticks. And Laura says, oh, that smells good. And then this morning I ordered the balance of the fruit trees,
uh-huh.
a couple of pecans, and...
I saw the strangest pecans for sale here. They were red and shiny.
Pecans?
I guess the typical pecans that they call paper shell or something, and
uh-huh.
it's a gray, brown,
mm-hmm.
dull brown. This was red, and it was really shiny. I had never seen pecans like this.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know, you know, that much about them. The two that I ended up getting are the ones that extend into the next coldest zone, because apparently we're having colder weather now than we've had in the past, so I didn't want to take the zone 7 risk.
Right.
So these are the two that will go into colder areas. And then a prune plum, two freestone peaches, one white and one yellow, raspberries and big blackberries. I think that's about it. I didn't want to get too much more. We got our, you know, we had planted most of the rest, and then the other pear, the Anjou pear, will come. And that's pretty much it.
I can't wait until we come down to visit you in
They're growing.
Summer in about 5 years. Oh. You'll have to make sure I know when raspberry season is.
Yeah, I don't know anything about them. I mean, I've never grown them before, but sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
I probably should have gotten the 10, but I'm really kind of concerned about getting too many fruits, you know, like we had over at the other place in Apex.
Right.
Even though Dad says, well, we'll just have people come over.
Mm-hmm.
Having them come over is often, you know, a job, you know.
Right.
And
right.
then
Which I don't think he'd...
fertilizing
right.
and picking and doing everything else is also a community thing that I don't think we need to do. This sounds really good. I think
well,
we've got a nice...
plenty. It is, so.
Yeah, I think it'll work out good.
Well,
and
the dinner I had last night turned out really beautifully. A guy who had worked, a graduate student I spent a lot of time with studying for the qualifier, and who had been in David's group but had switched to Keith Griffin, who didn't get tenure and went to William and Mary.
I remember the person.
Right. So this student has been out in California and was coming back to Penn to try to straighten out the sort of funding fiasco he's presently in. And, you know, I thought I'd invite him over just for dinner. Not a dinner party, just... And I didn't really think about the fact that he was staying with people I knew. And so that really made it
Then
awkward.
You had to invite them, too.
Well, yes, but it didn't cross my mind that I ought to. And so it really... And, you know, with the snow and Christopher suddenly having to work, I was the least gracious inviter in the world. So I'm still feeling really awkward about what I should say to both of them.
Wait, so did you invite? Who
yes,
did you invite?
Well, so he said, I guess he called Sunday night, right after Christopher got called into work, and said, well, there are four of us. Should we all come over? You know, I had a little itty-bitty roast, and I wasn't ready for a large group. So last night, just him and Dave Boaz, who was another person I studied for the qualifier with, came over and used all the china and made a pot roast with lots of vegetables and a pretty salad. So I think it was came across as a nice dinner.
So you left the other two out?
Well, they weren't there. They were friends of Dave's who were there that night. I mean, with all the snow, I think, you know, people were going over, gathering together in people's places and in sort of no party.
Well, I'm glad it worked out okay. I'm
yeah.
glad you got all those things, too. Nice household stuff.
Yeah. And Dave said, too, that he felt really comfortable. He thought it was a really comfortable apartment. I think we really...
Is this the student from California?
Yeah. So I think Christopher and I have really made a nice home here. Dad and Laura seem pretty happy to be here.
Yeah. Looked good. I liked your Christmas lights on the wall.
Yeah. That gets everyone's attention. Yeah, we're going to have to take those down someday.
Well, Laura and I are supposedly, since she's still home, you know, in the, with the snowstorm, we were going to do it today. We were going to do it yesterday. But I'm still doing my ironing, which is what I'm doing right now, trying to catch up on being gone for at least a month.
Yeah.
And when I do that, then I guess I'll do the Christmas stuff.
Well, I looked out. Yesterday when I went out, I shoveled the way into the basement where the laundry machine was.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried. I took a few steps trying to go see if I was going to ever make it down there. And, you know, it was the wind, the way the wind blew. All the snow drifted against our building. Across the street,
good.
It's almost bare. So I took a few steps, and I decided, you know, we aren't going to see the laundry room until next month. But some kind soul went and dug it out this morning. So I guess I'll get to do laundry.
Well, it's not the doing that seems to be the problem for me. It's the ironing afterwards. I'm beginning to think knit shirts.
Uh-huh.
When we were looking for a gift for Granddad, Aunt Judy and I, that was one of the things. Granddad doesn't like to iron, so kind of eliminated a lot of clothing for him.
Well, there's a new cotton blend that's supposed to be no iron.
Uh-huh. I'll look.
I think it's mainly in pants right now.
Yeah.
Well, I don't iron. Not the most noble thing, but I figure when I get a real job, maybe then I'll think about ironing or taking my clothes
Well, you know, when I was down in Florida and Dad was up here,
mm-hmm.
he was paying the dollar a shirt for, you know, taking it to the laundry just
right.
so he didn't have to deal with it, which is, I guess, a pretty good bargain as far as time and money. However, if you aren't just taking it out of a paycheck, like when I'm sitting here
right.
and not doing it, it doesn't pay to take $7 a week just for 7 shirts. So that's where a lot of this is.
Yeah.
A little starch and stuff.
Well, I had an interesting conversation with my advisor once. His mother, his parents were divorced, and they were in New York City, and I think that really, and he's got interesting, I guess, almost, I think one of his parents was a communist Jew, or maybe her parents were, I think maybe it was his mother, but he's really got an interesting perspective on jobs and things like that. For someone who makes as much money as he does.
Now, is this your boss who had the heart attack?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's interesting because you hear what comes out of his mouth and then you see what he does and you just sort of
mm-hmm.
wonder.
I would be more interested in what his parents think about what he's doing.
Well, apparently his father was a physicist.
Oh, uh-huh.
And who did die at age 50 from a heart attack. So
mm-hmm.
I suppose he's just following in the family tradition.
Mm-hmm. With a little better medical care these days.
Yeah, it's probably all that saved him. But his perspective is that, you know, sending your laundry out is, you know, people need the job.
That's me.
Laundry.
That's my job.
Right. Oh, I know, but
I am the laundry person, chauffeur, whatever. That's my.
Yeah.
If you don't spend a dollar, you have earned $2.
Right.
And that's how I make my money. So that's exactly why I do all this.
Well, you know, that makes a lot of sense. And it's been what I've learned.
Uh huh.
And so, you know, I believe I ought to be doing all of the, you know, pay someone to do X.
Uh-huh.
I can do X. Why would I pay them?
Because you have another job.
Right. Well, I was thinking about this as I spent half an hour shining all my shoes this past weekend.
Uh-huh.
And I was sort of thinking, you know those boots I bought in South Carolina? Those
uh-huh.
brown, they still look great.
Mm-hmm.
But I was sitting there thinking about all the time and figuring, you know, if I was being paid as a consultant, how much my time would be worth.
Then you wouldn't do that. But remember, that does not come from any Southern. That comes from Yankee and Scotch-Irish,
mm-hmm.
you know, self-sufficiency, which is
right.
where we're having to finally kind of get back to, I think, in this country.
Well, what I was thinking as I was doing my shoes, though, is it really is a rewarding thing to do, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's good for people to do things like that.
Yep.
I'm not sure if it's good for one's soul to have a career job that you do, and that's all you do. And
mm-hmm.
taking care of your life is abandoned to other people, whether you pay them or marry them.
Yeah. Doesn't sound good to me.
Well, I enjoy polishing my shoes, but I'm not sure I'd do the iron.
Well, it's just a good job to do here.
Actually, I found hanging the clothes up to dry cuts down on some of the ironing.
I think so.
I suppose. It's been so long since I've taken clothes out of the dryer. I don't know if you took some of these permanent press shirts out and hung them up, it would be any better.
I pretty much just fold them, and that eliminates. They're not real bad, but still, it still need to be done. Hold on, let me set this down.
Sure.
I hope it is okay with this call to be working.
Oh, sure.
So I've got this tucked under my chin, and I'm ironing away.
Well, it was funny last night.
How much money? Well, you get the call, right?
Right.
I'm trying to think of something else to say other than I have this box of stuff from home, and as soon as I get this laundry done and go back to some other activities, I'll box it up to ship to you.
Oh,
that's
I know
one of
what's
the things.
Important. Speaking of boxing and shipping, did Laura leave her coat here? Is she missing her teal green coat with a gray? It's an L.L. Bean warm-up jacket, it says. And it's got a gray patterned interior.
Okay. Uh-huh. I think so.
All right. You can tell her I have it. And as soon as I can make it to the post office, I'll get it down to her.
I'll tell you whose it is. It's really Nathan's, I think. That she has lifted along with a lot of
so
other
I
things.
Could keep it?
Well, if you want it, I'd say, I guess so.
No, you know that red coat you got me last year? People look at me and say, aren't you cold? And just that coat is so warm. The lining in it is just great.
I hope so. Let me check with her, though, just to make sure.
Sure.
Laura, there is an extra, there is a L.L. Bean jacket windbreaker up there. She wants to know if you had left it up there. Teal. It sounds like the color of Nathan's. Did you take Nathan's jacket? Well, then that's yours. Yeah, you.
Good.
It is hers.
Okay.
What she has is Nathan's here. I was wearing it the other day when I had to run out for something. I thought, gee, this is awfully big to have gotten this for Laura. I'm glad to know it was Nathan's because it was big. Yeah.
Well, I'll pack it up and mail it back.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly don't need it, but it was
yeah, that's the one.
Color.
That is the one that I had urged you to get, so you're right. It is. I think it's very useful anyway. And ended up getting the same one for Nathan, only in tall, I guess, tall size or something.
Oh, that red one has been really warm. And I think what it is a friend of mine got a very similar jacket from L.L. Bean this season. And I picked it up, and it weighs half as much as mine, even with the liner in it. So they must have scaled back the weight of the jacket.
You mean it's the same one?
It looks the same. It's the same detailing, the corduroy collar and cuffs, the same strange back flaps, the pockets that flap over a second set of pockets. All the same details, but the fabric and the lining are half as heavy.
Well, I'm glad you still like it.
Oh, yeah. It's just the right length and everything. So.
I'll tell you, if you want one, give Grandmama a call. She suggested giving you her jacket that we gave her up here.
Big downy gray white.
Yeah, kind of a grayish white one, which, you know, how she likes all the off-white stuff.
Right.
We figured this was for her. And I said, but Nadine, you said you were going to come up and spend Christmas with us sometime. You know, why don't you hang on to that? I mean, to me, that's another one of those say one thing, be actually planning another.
Right.
I don't think she's planning on coming up
ever
here.
In the cold again.
So her mud boots are here, and she took the jacket with her, but I suspect if you wanted one cheap, you could get one.
This jacket has been fine for anything the winter's thrown at me yet.
Oh, good.
It's been really good.
Now, let's see. Did Dad or anybody tell you about Mark and Barbara being here?
You mentioned briefly. I guess I called Sunday morning obscenely early because the snow had started here, and I wanted to hear what you had.
Uh-huh. Well, apparently, not to be spread around, though, but Mark had a heart attack in October.
Oh, my.
And I don't know what all the reasons, but hadn't been really obeying the doctor.
Uh-huh.
We just kind of gave him a pep talk, or really a talk to have some concern about living.
Yeah.
And let's see, he had been given a ticket to go to a magician show, and so they headed out, thankfully, after the wedding. They didn't even come back here, which was great, because when I heard the snow was on the way, I thought, oh, my gosh, I do not want to be snowed in with these people for days.
My friend Susan is stuck in Atlanta, in, I guess, the Hilton. She was down there for a conference, and,
mm-hmm.
well, you know, it's running out of her pocket.
You know? Ooh.
And she says, well, it's a nice place to be stuck.
But it's an expensive place.
And she's really grumpy. She went down for the humanities students who pay their own way for everything.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is at the conference, for whatever field you're in, usually the conference is in December to February.
Uh-huh.
That's where all the job interviews happen. And so, you know, I've heard people say, you know, they've got 6 interviews lined up at the conference, and that's their job chance. You know,
mm-hmm.
there are no more interviews until the next year. She only had 1 interview, so just as it was an expensive interview to fly to Atlanta and stay for this conference.
Yeah.
And now to have been stuck there so long.
Having her vacation.
Yeah. And apparently Atlanta's iced over, so there's really nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So she's not happy.
Too bad. I think it's terrible that it's so hard for all of these jobs that people are studying for.
Mm-hmm. It's something when I hear the physicists complain.
Mm-hmm.
I
hope that there's a variety of things that'll evolve that you can do with that.
Well, I think I certainly have plenty of opportunities if I position myself right. Part of it is state of mind. I have a hard time judging my computer skills,
mm-hmm.
because there aren't that many people around me.
mm-hmm.
So it's hard to say how good my skills are. But I think, all in all, I'm probably a fairly good programmer, and it's just not having been trained as a programmer.
That's what I think is amazing.
How well could I sell myself as a programmer? And so some of the personal programs I want to write, I suppose if I got them written, you know, if I take a postdoc and spend my playtime writing these programs, whether I'd be able to use those as a portfolio some sort. I don't know.
Well, we'll be interested in finding out, you know, what you do end up doing.
Well, it, you know,
looking forward anyway to you teaching, I hope, some year here in North Carolina. But
it would be really nice.
I know that you have to do all the things you have to do in order for somebody to want you to teach here, but
well,
like Laura says, you know, well, this is probably just because of what all happened over Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But when we were talking, she wanted to know how, I was saying that we needed to get out of this house by the time that we are the age of Mom, Mom, and Granddad. There's no way we could take care of this. So we need to not only finish it, but enjoy it for as much as we're going to enjoy it.
Right.
Because we just can't
take it.
Yeah, and so she said, well, how old is Mama? And I said, well, she's 78, but, you know, in 25 years, Dad and I, if we're alive, certainly can't manage this place. So she started adding how old she was going to be when that time came.
Uh-huh.
And